Well, the final two matches of the quarterfinals of the 2023-2024 African Champions League have been played, and now we know that TP Mazembe and Esperance de Tunis will be joining Mamelodi Sundowns and El Ahli in the semi-finals of our beloved tournament. Let's talk about it, though. As usual, my name is Maher Mizahi. I'm your host of this African Five-A-Side podcast, and this podcast is brought to you by africasacountry.com. And we'll begin by talking about the first match, Petro de Luanda versus Tout Puissant Mazembe, All Powerful Mazembe. Just a quick refresher: in the first leg, this match finished 0-0, and it wasn't a boring match. TP Mazembe at home in Lubumbashi created that atmosphere, and they created so many goal-scoring chances, but they couldn't really score a single goal, and you could see that it was very frustrating for the coach, very frustrating for the players. And in the end, as they continued to fail scoring, Petro actually started to grow into the game and have a few chances of their own. So we came into this match with a 0-0 on aggregate, and as a result, you usually tend to favor the home side, especially considering the fact that Petro de Luanda haven't even conceded a goal this year in the African Champions League. To this date, until today's match. And so I think you would fancy them at home because of that. Remember, just a cliff notes of how these teams got here. TP Mazembe have built this insular mentality. Remember earlier on this year, their president, Moise Katumbi, the strongman of the Katanga region in the DRC, one of the richest men in Africa, or he was, I'm not sure if he still is, he contested the presidential elections. He lost the presidential elections. As a result, sometimes some people at the club feel like that they're either neglected by the government, or sometimes that they're even picked on by the government despite their success, despite the fact that they are, the sole representative of the DRC at this tournament. Throughout the group stages, TP Mazembe defended well, and they've relied on a host of different strikers to sort of score some of their goals. And they came into the season by sort of returning to the roots. They brought back their Senegalese coach, Lamine Ndiaye, a name that's very well respected on the continent for, the success he had with TP Mazembe earlier on, about a decade ago, when it was the great TP Mazembe. Now they're sort of trying to return back to that age and trying to see if they can make TP Mazembe the great club it was, throughout its history from the 1960s to present day. Petro, however, what's their story? So we told you that they've been defending very well. Petro, I think, in my opinion, are probably the African side, along with Sundowns, that invest the best in foreigners. And they do a great job of investing from the Americas. So the player that scored their goal today is from Honduras, Jonathan Toro. Very, very good player. Thiago Azulao. A lot of Brazilians play for Brazilians, Portuguese, like their defender Pedro Pinto. So these are the players that they tend to invest in. They tend to do it very well, I think, in my opinion, better than teams around the rest of the continent when it comes to especially recruiting players from the Americas and Portugal. And as a result, Petro, they tend to have older players because, these are not players that jump at the chance of playing in Angola at the age of 21, 22. On the contrary, these are towards the end of their career. They have a lot of experience playing all around the world, but they're good players, and so they tend to be even like tactically disciplined. They keep a good shape, and they try to beat you within their structure. This is why this was an interesting match, because it was a clash of styles. TP Mazembe are, in my opinion, unstructured, undisciplined. They run all over the place. They use their pace, their power. They're very fun to watch in that sense. But Petro is more like, we're going to make sure we keep our shape. We're going to try to move the ball and matriculate it up the pitch within our shape and score within our shape. You don't see like their strikers making runs to the corner. You don't see a player dribbling, unless it's Gilberto, dribbling through five or six players. And so this is why I thought it was an interesting clash of styles. So let's talk about the match itself. Petro went out on the front foot, as was expected. They're the home side. And they created actually chances, and this is something we have to keep an eye on for the next match for Mazembe as they play against Al Ahly, because Petro created their chances from either crosses or long throws early on in this match. And the first one, I think, came at the 10th minute from a cross, and Jonathan Toro, I think a cross came from the left wing, if I'm not mistaken. Thiago Azulao headed it down to Jonathan Toro, who, if I'm recalling correctly, it's been almost 12 hours since I watched this match, took it on his chest and blazed it over the bar just wide. And from very close range, he should have done better, the Honduras international. And then the second one came from a long throw, and it was a very similar thing where, you know, the ball sort of finds its way to Jonathan Toro, and this time he does very well, turning on a half pence, slotting the ball in the low corner of the pitch. And so this is surprising to me because, you know, Mazembe have really athletic, pretty tall center halves in Tabwe and Mondeko, and they're very aggressive as well. So I wasn't expecting Petro to unlock the Mazembe defense via long balls, especially ones like this long throw that you can sort of set up for and you're not really caught out of possession. That's something that we're going to have to see if, you know, the Al Ahly striker, Anthony Modeste, can trouble them with. Anyways, I thought Petro did a good job of, you know, not getting a big head. They saw the rest of the first half pretty coolly in control. Although they did give up a big chance before halftime. And this was not an insignificant chance because, you know, they say like the worst thing to do is to concede before halftime. But even if you concede a chance and not necessarily a goal, I think that can, you know, give a team hope going into the locker. Like, hey, come on, we showed that we could do it. Let's do it. Let's do it again and get a goal. And it can even plant seeds of doubt into the team that concedes a big chance. I think that's what happened. And even if you look at the way that the chance was constructed, it was Philippe Kinzumbi. He found space between the Petro midfield and the defense, that half space between those two lines. And from there, he fed Oscar Cabwit, the very exciting 18-year-old that we sort of discovered in the first leg. And Cabwit did a great job dribbling past a defender and past the goalkeeper, but he should have done a better job hitting the target. He slotted the ball just wide, and he should have scored, really. And so that's one thing I thought was very interesting was, you know, Petro don't really have a staggered midfield. They were lining, it was like a 3-4-2-1, and between the three center halves and the four, we'll say the two central midfielders and the two wingbacks, you know, a lot of the times their lines were very like this, straight. And so they're lucky that, in my opinion, it didn't come up against Sundowns, because Sundowns are the masters of finding those spaces, you know, those half spaces in between the lines. And I was pretty disappointed with how Petro, you know, didn't communicate well enough to sort of make sure they snuff out those half spaces and not let the Mazembe players sort of nest there. Anyway, so the second half, that was really, if you, again, look at the chances that Mazembe created, many of them were because players picked up the ball in those half spaces. And it got to the point where they're creating so many chances and being so wasteful. And this is when I talk about Mazembe, you know, being undisciplined, unstructured, like free spirits, but immature, maybe we can say. And Lemmy Ninja, at one point, I remember he was walking up and down the touchline, like, like almost hyperventilating, like, how can we be missing this many chances? The Mazembe coach. But that's how the goal ended up coming. So remember, Petro up 1-0. If the scoreline stays the same, Petro advances to play against Al Ahly. And if they equalized, TP Mazembe equalized, then Mazembe would go on to play Al Ahly. And Mazembe ends up equalizing in the final 10 minutes of the match. And this time, it's Fili Traore, the Malian striker, who finds the same thing, the half space in between the defense and the midfield line. Wonderful piece of skill to sort of turn away from a defender. And then he finds, I believe it's Ibrahim Aketa, the Mauritanian right back, who's been absolutely fantastic throughout the Champions League, who passes the ball on to Philippe Kinzumbi, who gets a shot on goal. It's deflected and it bounces past the very experienced Angolan goalkeeper, Marquez. And so at this point, Petro are, you know, just before I talk about that, again, we talk about the strength of Mazembe, their striking options. Joel Beya, who ends up scoring the second goal, from Lubumbashi, by the way. So remember, he's very highly motivated to represent this club. Philippe Kinzumbi, who scored the first goal. Oscar Kabwit, who had the chance before half, Fili Traore, who comes on and makes a difference and is leading the Congolese league in scoring at the moment from Mali. Patient Mwamba, just 22 years old, a very talented Congolese sort of shuttling attacking midfielder that can join the attack. Sheikh Fofana, who we had as one of, you know, a top five youngster to look out for in the knockout stages, but he was injured for this match. And even somebody like Soumana, the Nigerian striker, a lot of great experience playing all around the continent. He wasn't used today, but they have so many striking options, and that's something that can make them very, very dangerous against Al Ahly. And then in the last few minutes of the match, Petro were just throwing everything forward, trying to find that winning goal. And that's how they conceded the second goal. The goalkeeper went up on a corner kick. He stayed up for the long throw. And eventually, Mazembe did a great job of counterattacking, and Joel Beya scores the winning goal, 2-1. And Mazembe come away with an absolutely fantastic victory. And it's great to see that Mazembe are sort of slowly building back to what they used to be. Because I think, you know, it's nice to have great teams from different parts of Africa. You know, we have obviously Sundowns in the southern part of Africa. We've been missing the central part of Africa for a while. Now we have Mazembe that they're back, you know. I think Nigerian clubs are doing okay. Teams like Rivers United in West Africa or ASEC Mimosa in West Africa. We need better and more in from West Africa. Maybe, you know, like academy sides like Generation Foot or others. The North we don't need to talk about. And now from the East we have the Tanzanian clubs. So I think it's great to have this sort of representation from around the continent. So it's great to see Mazembe back to where they were. And I think they're going to have a pretty cool match against Al Ahly in 2 weeks' time. The second match of the day was ASEC Mimosa versus Esperance de Tunis in Felicia in Abidjan. It was really great seeing the stadium again. It's where I spent a lot of my month of January at the African Cup of Nations. I stayed mostly in Abidjan and mostly went to every single match in that stadium. And it's such a beautiful stadium on the lagoon in Abidjan. And just very nostalgic watching the match unfold there. But this, you know, in the first match, let's again go back and refresh our memories. It was 0-0, and there weren't many chances. Unlike, you know, the Mazembe versus Petro first leg, which had many chances, especially for Mazembe. This one was 0-0, very few chances. And what you have to understand is that ASEC, they're also building up. You know, last year in the CAF Confederation Cup, they made it to the semifinals. And their modus operandi, like this year and like last year, is to really rely on very good defending. So their two center halves, Wanlo Koulibaly and Anthony Trabi, fantastic. And they're very complementary. Trabi is more physical. Wanlo Koulibaly is more of a passing center half. And he builds the attacks, and he's the link between the defense and the midfield. Even Zuzu, the left back, he reminds me so much of Eric Abidal, great player. And the goalkeeper, in my opinion, one of the most underrated goalkeepers in Africa, Charles Foley Ayayi. Ivory Coast, their goalkeeper, and he has 8 caps with the Ivorian national team. So really, really great, tall goalkeeper. And that's really the strength of that national team, of that club, of ASEC Mimosa. And last year, you know, they had a great side, and they lost some of their best players, like Pakum Zouzoua, who goes to Young Africans, Mohamed Zougrana, who's having a great season with MC of Algiers, the league leaders in Algeria. But still, they retain their identity because they retain their coach. The coach has been there for the better part of a decade. And really what they lean on is defending well and making sure they defend well. And then if there's a half chance, maybe we can try to snuff it. Esperance de Tunis, for those that haven't been following, they're sort of going through a radical change. Most of their midfield and their attackers from last year are gone. These are players that were very influential for so long at the club, like the Ivorian midfielder Fousseini Koulibaly, Mohamed Ali bin Ramadan, the Tunisian international, who is, I believe, is in Hungary at the moment. Players like the Libyan winger Hamdou El Houni. Really, there are so many. Anis El Badri, who's, you know, some of these players were there at the club for 6, 7, 8 years. Very influential. They were all older, and they really cleaned house. And they brought in brand new midfielders, players like Hussein Pqa, players like Raji Ahulu, very good defensive midfielder to replace Koulibaly, for example. Usama Bugera as a winger, Andre Bukia as a winger, and the Brazilians, Rodrigo Rodriguez and Yan Sass. Rodriguez is the striker, the spearhead, and Yan Sass is left-footed right midfielder who's really the creative outlet for this Esperance team. So they cleaned house, they brought in a bunch of brand new players, especially in attack. They just really kept the defense intact, you know, Tugay, Mariah, Ben Ali or Bouchniba, and then Ben Hamouda. So these are really the only real leftovers from last year's Esperance. And as a result, this Esperance side, in my opinion, is still one that's in construction, still one that's trying to find its identity, and it's not that harmonious in terms of balance. They don't have as much attack as they defend, you know? And so this was always going to be an ugly tie, and it finishes with 0 goals after 2 matches. Still, when the match started, I was a little bit surprised that ASEC Mimosa were so apprehensive at home. After the first half, we had 46 to 54% possession. No big chances. The only sort of half chance was when the Esperance striker, Rodrigo Rodriguez, dispossessed Anthony Trabi, the Ivorian center half, races down on goal and it fails to even get a shot on goal. And that was like the main chance from the first half. 14 fouls. It was very choppy. And the second half, believe it or not, was worse in terms of the amount of chances and shots created. So most of this game, if you watched it, was... and they both play very, very similar tactical systems, 4-3-3. And it was mostly the center halves of either club on the ball. And when the center halves were on the ball, they would expand. So you had in the 4-3-3, the three midfielders, the deep-lying midfielder would drop down, and then the other two central midfielders would sort of shoot up. The fullbacks would get very wide and hug each touchline. But what happened was the opposing or the defending side, either side, was so focused on cutting off the passing lanes and making sure that the ball is not advanced. They weren't really putting pressure on the center halves, that most of the time the center halves were just sitting on the ball, passing it to each other. And then eventually somebody tries a long ball, they're dispossessed, and it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. So you got to a point in the 60th, 70th minute where I think both sides realized, you know what, we're going to play for penalties. And because they did, I thought ASEC had the advantage because they're at home. The goalkeeper that I talked about, one of the most underrated ones in Africa, Charles Foliaye, he's 33 years old. He has a lot of experience. Whereas Esperance goalkeeper, Amen Lahmemish, another one of those players that we talked about as the five players to look out for in the knockout stages of the African Champions League. He's just 19 years old. And so he's very inexperienced. He hasn't been put in these positions before. So I did think ASEC had the advantage. But Mimish was great. He saves three penalties, if I'm not mistaken, and Esperance de Tunis advance to face Mamelodi Sundowns. So, hey, Esperance fans that were not happy online, they think that the team is not good enough to face the likes of Al Ahly or Sundowns. But I think taking this cautious approach was okay against ASEC Mimosa, because ASEC Mimosa were not a side that were going to trouble you in an attacking sense. So don't take any caution, really, in my opinion. I thought I was okay with Miguel Cardoso's approach to this match. So yeah, that's it. We're in the semifinals now. In 2 weeks' time, we have Mamelodi Sundowns versus Esperance de Tunis and Al Ahly versus TP Mazembe. Absolutely wonderful semifinals. I like that these last four teams are traditional powerhouses of the African continent. And we're going to be following them, breaking them down on this channel. We're going to be previewing all of those matches, doing analysis. Who knows, maybe even getting to Tunis for the match against Sundowns. Maybe even going to Egypt for the Mazembe match. I'd love to do that, but we'll see how things shake out. Anyways, thank you for watching, listening. I saw that the previous breakdown of the Sundowns match against Yanga got a lot of traction online. So a lot of you are new to this channel. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for watching. If you like the kind of content that's being put out, please do like it, please do subscribe, please do share. And this content is going to continue to improve, I promise that. It's been going slower than I really wanted to, but I do have bigger and better in mind for the future. So thank you for listening. Let me know what you thought of today's two matches and what you think of the possible semifinal matches in the future. All right, guys, I'll leave it there and take care and good night. Peace.